Peter R. Bregan, M.D., is called the conscience of psychiatry for his many decades of successful reform efforts. His scientific and educational work provide the foundation for modern criticism of drugs and ECT and lead the way in promoting more caring and effective therapies. His books include Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, Medication Madness, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and now Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Understanding and Overcoming Negative Emotions. Welcome to the Dr. Peter Bregan Hour.
Hello, 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 my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful audience. It is great to be in contact with you. I'm enjoying getting and benefiting from getting your messages. Remember, you can email me direct. Nobody else will be looking at these but me. BreganLive@hotmail.com. I don't want this just spread all over the world, BreganLive@hotmail.com. I want to spread the radio, my radio audience, because you are very, very special to me. You're very important. I want to be tailoring what I'm doing more and more to what you suggest, what you like. So please keep sending in the messages, and I'll be discussing them more and more as we go along. And we'll be doing call-ins as we do every day now. But today is especially important because I want to focus on call-ins. I do not have a guest. You are my guests. The hundreds of you. Oh, I wish there were millions. You're my guests. You're my guests. The thousand or more who are going to be hearing me on the archive, you can't call in, obviously. And so let me remind you, as one of my callers actually emailed in to me at BreganLive@hotmail.com, that this show is taking place on August 15th, 2018, and it's 4 p.m. New York time. So if you listen to this show in another hour and you want to know, well, when do I listen to call in? It's because you may not be able to figure it out. Well, it's 4 p.m. New York time that I am live on the show, with occasionally when I'm away at a legal case or a conference, I may play an old show, but not generally speaking. So I'm hoping to have lots of folks calling in today. I want to be talking with you about, how do you live a good life? Have you ever wanted to talk to me about, you know, how do I get overcome the harmful effects of the medications I've been taking? If I am withdrawing, what can I expect psychologically? And after I'm done withdrawing, how can I continue to grow? You can talk to me today about that. If you feel you've been injured by shock treatment or drugs, but you're not being afflicted with it anymore right now, and you want to know, what can I do to maximize my recovery? Or my recovery, of the recovery of a friend or a family member, just call on in. And I'm glad to see that the lines are getting active already. You know, I haven't done call-ins very much on this show, so I'm always waiting to see if I'm going to get call-ins. It's not like when I do a big national TV show of somebody else, I mean, a national radio show of somebody else's, and I know they're going to be callers coming in. So thanks for starting to call in. And Maria, I'll get to you soon. So where to begin with such a big topic? Well, I think first I want to continue to tell you more about the show. There's going to be very interesting changes and things going on. And also in my life, there's some very big news that will be breaking over the next few months about what I'm doing and what's happening in my world. And in the meanwhile, we have now a daily breaking news feature. It's going daily for the first time, and you can go there and on the website under the very top of the page, where I list all my more interesting ongoing activities, and you can look at, you know, what I'm picking up in the daily news, what my wife Ginger is doing, what my assistant Ian is picking up. And we may comment or not, but most of what we'll be putting up there about mental health and psychiatry will speak for itself. And it's not just going to be negative. It's going to be positive things about how to live life. And we've got some interesting ones up already about that. So just a lot going on. And of course, we are always archiving our shows. You can get to them and listen to them. I want to start with just a thought, and then I will start taking callers. I don't think I'll wait for half an hour. I think I'll just leave you with some thoughts, because they relate to the calls we're getting. It's really important to think of oneself as more than a body and a brain. One of the horrible lessons of psychiatry is that we are our brains, we have chemical imbalances, all of which are outright lies. They're not just scientifically debatable, they're outright lies, because there's no evidence that if you're sad or depressed or anxious, that you have a biochemical imbalance. And yet the moment you take a psychiatric drug or get ECT, you have severe biochemical imbalances. So you have to get over this fake notion. It's just a PR notion. You have to get over it, that your brain is your problem. Now, if you've been on a lot of drugs and if you've had ECT, then you can begin to ask yourself, well, what role might some harm to my brain be playing? And I'm going to address that today as best as I can. With all my heart, I'm going to try to address that complicated question. So should you think of yourself? Should you think of yourself as a mind that influences your body, a psychological concept, or should you think of yourself as a being, a soul? I would like all of my listeners to start contemplating that you are a spirit, a soul, a being, that you're more than even your mind in all its operations, that there's something inherent in you of huge worth. I believe we are God's children. You don't have to believe that, although believe me, it's a nice thing to believe. You can try it. I believe we're God's children. I believe that we have something spiritual that's been breathed into us, that's been breathed into all of life, and that we have inherent value, and that we can actually influence the direction of our minds. We can do it. I've done it my whole life. I've had to do a lot of influencing of my mind to get to the place I'm in now. And to influence the mind, then you influence the brain. You start changing the physical connections in your brain. You are then manipulating your brain instead of being manipulated by it like psychiatry would have us believe. So I'm hoping that I encourage all of you to think of yourselves as something special, every human being. And we have a special us, there's a you, a me. And that while we can't really well define it, it has huge value, that we matter, that all individuals matter, that life begins with individuals mattering, that all good concepts, going back to the founding of this nation, start with individuals mattering. So, you know, keep that in mind. And the books of mine that you might want to refer to sometime in your life, or one is Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, you know, or Identifying and Overcoming Negative Emotions. Another is The Heart of Being Helpful. And there are others, you know, just to kind of get on my website, look through my books, and you may find some that deal with this to your satisfaction. So the earliest bird today, and we're starting early with guests, the earliest I've ever started, with Marie in South Carolina. Hello, Marie.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. I feel like I'm talking to a movie star.
Well, you can't see me. There's not video. Go ahead. We've never met or talked, Marie?
No. I was on Zyprexa for 9 years, and then it was substituted with Risperidone for the last 4 years. And then Lexapro for a year and a half. So right now I've been tapering at 2.5% every 7 days, and I have 18 days left of Risperidone. So I'm really excited. I tried tapering before 10%, and it was a cold turkey for me, and I rebounded with paranoia and ended up in the hospital. So through my experience, God took everything away from me, my husband, my six adult kids. Now most of them are back communicating with me, but I've grown to be a better person, and God wanted me to focus only on him, so he brought good out of everything that happened. So the things I'm doing to improve, one is I'm practicing the present moment. The past is gone. The future doesn't exist. It's an illusion. And God only exists in the present moment. So, and then I meditate on the Bible. That helps me to keep focused on what does God want, not other people. And then Point of Return really helped me. They're a program of home tapering with psych drugs with the doctor's help. And I encourage people on their forum, you know, with positive, upbeat support to encourage them to get off the psychiatric medications. I'm not too much into that, but I started doing that. And then I take their supplements with glutathione precursors, which are critical to every cell in the body, including the brain and nervous system. And then they also have omega-3s for better brain health. And I go to Dr. Melinda Tony in Asheville. She's a regular doctor who helps you taper off medication. And Tony is T-O-N-E-Y. And her, she treats the well-being of a whole person and uses empathetic listening. And then the other thing I do is I go to Al-Anon, and that helps with dysfunctional family. You know, you don't have to be an alcoholic or whatever. And I've established real positive friends in Al-Anon and gotten rid of the dysfunctional friends who use guilt, shame, and anxiety to control me. So I'm going out more and bought a townhome. I'm learning to forgive and accept other people. And yeah, thank you because you helped me to read your books and get me encouraged to do that. Thank you.
Well, that's a wonderful testimonial to your self-improvement and your working with other people. I think that though my listeners, I think that if you think about what Maria is saying, it's a lot of very positive things that you're reaching out. Well, first of all, you're building in a vital principle around which to live for yourself, which is the Bible. Are you Christian?
Yes.
So you're bringing in your Christianity. I'm Jewish. I have a very deep commitment to the idea that I'm supposed to do what God thinks I should do, to behave in certain ways and to do the work I do. And I think that's wonderful. I think it's so important that you're doing that. It isn't talked about enough, and therapists often pay no attention to the spiritual life of a person and to whether or not they're a Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever else faith they have, which can be positive. I have Muslim clients, and their faith is very positive for them. So I think you're doing so many, many good things. I think that you're joining an AA program is really good. I would advise people to find some sort of an AA program that can be helpful to them. There's Emotions Anonymous. There's all sorts of various AA programs. You might be surprised how many there are near you. I think that's a wonderful idea. reaching out to friends is great, and keeping negative people away from you is a wonderful thing to do. I talk a lot about that and how to do that, how to identify negative people in guilt, shame, and anxiety. excuse me. I'm sure I could continue to talk for a while. I would strongly suggest, if you've been listening before, you know about this, that the most important nutritional thing you can do for yourself is not any supplements or additives. The most important thing you can do for yourself is a diet that is primarily based on eating plants. a whole food, plant-based diet. And if you go to the archives of this show, go to Bregan.com and go to the archives and look up Pam Popper, who is a nutritionist. In fact, you know, I'm doing a conference with her in November. You can look that up under events on Bregan.com. I think that's the best thing in the world. It's eating a lot of basic foods that haven't been processed, haven't been beat up, churned up, and all those other things, and potatoes and rice and other good foods, and all array of vegetables and fruits, and limit your meat to maybe three times a week, and try to make it a lean, healthy, organic meat, and no dairy. That's basically the program, and it works. It just does so many wonderful things. So I would really also emphasize that you do that. I think that's the most important thing. And you're right, a 10% method doesn't work. That's not a way to folks to come off a drug. The best way is to go at your pace with good clinical supervision. I do hope, Marie, that you have some people professionally and personally who are working with you. I do really hope you do. And it's so important for you to try to find that. But the basic principle should be to withdraw at a rate you can handle. So doctors who give a 10% rate, well, you know, 10% of what? A week, a month, a year, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily fit you at all. What will fit you at all is taking cutting off small amounts, getting a feel for what you can handle, doing it at your pace. And I'm sorry, folks who want a formula. I know how good it would be to have a formula, but the formula is you. There's a good phrase for you. You are the formula. And you need to come off drugs at a rate that's comfortable for you, unless you're in an emergency, the kind of which you should perhaps go into a general hospital for to get off a drug. Let's say, you know, you've got a real toxic reaction or any kind of serious life-threatening, you know, try to get your GP to put you in the hospital and help you come off. Not a psych hospital where they'll put you on more drugs. That's kind of some of my general responses. And we've got lots of guests, but I don't want to lots of people calling in, but I don't want to pass you by too quick, Mary. Am I responding in a way that is useful and makes sense to you?
Yeah, that was very good. I go to Al-Anon, not AA.
And that's good,
the one
too?
Related to.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good correction, and that's important. It's based on AA principles, Al-Anon, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah. So I always think of it as an AA program, but no, Al-Anon, to distinguish that, that's very, very important. Any other thoughts? I really appreciate you calling in. You're a great first caller.
No, thank you very much. That
You're
was
welcome.
Great. Thank
okay.
You.
Well, bye-bye now. And bye. Let me go to Deborah in New Jersey. Are you there, Deborah?
I am, Dr. Bregan.
Wow. You know, my engineers are working really well. I want to thank you. Thank you at prnfm.fm. Deborah, tell me, you know, the note I have is you want to talk about effective ECT on memory and balance. That's electroshock treatment.
Yes, I was tootling around on the internet and just quite accidentally came across your site. So first and foremost, let me say thank you for being out there. I did have a lot of ECT and was on psychotropic meds for many years. I am no longer on psychotropic meds, I'm very grateful to say. But the effects of ECT are lingering. I had ECT many treatments from 2010 through 2012. So my question would be,
May I ask how many you had?
You know, there were so many, I don't even know. I know that the first month I went 3 times a week, and then, so that was for 1 month, that's the minimum of 12 treatments, and then after that I went once a week for, I don't know, I have memory loss. And then after that, he said he wanted me to do once every 2 weeks for the rest of my life. And that was in 2012. And that's kind of when I said, you know what, buddy? I'm out of here. I am
well,
not
thank
doing
you.
That.
Thank God, Deborah, you did that. I mean, you really, that takes such strength, folks. You know, first, before we go any further, let me just tell people in the listening audience, I mean, some people are going to, even on this radio show with informed guests, informed audience, you're going to be thinking, ECT, nobody does ECT anymore. Actually, it's probably in the hundreds of thousands in the country. Every big city has multiple places where they use ECT because it makes a lot of money. And because you don't have to have much wits to do it, and you can do, you know, one every 10 minutes or so, and it's covered by Medicare, Medicaid. A lot of elderly women are given ECT, and it's something I've been working very hard to inform people about. It's a closed head injury. It's traumatic. It's very, very similar to multiple concussions, but worse. And it does go on, and it's an American, and it's a worldwide tragedy. So, Deborah, do you want to talk about what the effects are that you're struggling with?
Yes, sure. So I love to dance, which requires balance. Sometimes there are dance steps that you have to go backwards, and sometimes you go forward. And my balance, I can hardly, I lose my balance. I can't go backwards in a straight line without veering off center line. It's very scary, actually. I find it very scary. I myself today would say, you know, look, in hindsight, I would never, ever do ECT again and have made a promise to keep myself psychotropic medicine free for the rest of my life. And I'm so grateful that you are out there. The memory is already gone. My memory is gone. Many, many memories are gone, so that I almost have no hopes of retrieving. But balance, I'm very concerned about because I dance so much.
Right. The memory issues, and I don't think it's necessary to get into just what has happened to your memory, but of course it's inevitable when you have that many shock treatment, really almost any shock treatment, but certainly once you get into numbers of them, that there'll be various permanent memory losses. Consensus Development Conference on ECT, where I was the medical expert, the government invited me to be the medical expert on the brain pathology of ECT. Even the Consensus Conference, which is a very established thing, concluded that people lose 6 or 8 months of memory commonly on ECT. And in fact, it can eradicate a lot more than that. People can lose their professional abilities. Balance, hardly anybody talks about. But in fact, one of the things that happens when ECT is starting to really impair people doing the treatment is they lose their balance. And so it's entirely possible that the balance problem you got is from the ECT. Your drugs could have contributed to it. How old are you, Deborah?
I'm 63. I'm in excellent health. Yeah, I am in excellent health. Mm-hmm. I'm also headed down to a health institute in Florida where I am intending to go on this whole food plant-based diet that you were referring to when you spoke with the caller before me.
Do me a favor and just send me an email to breganlive@hotmail.com, breganlive@hotmail.com, about how that turns out.
Okay.
And let me know who they are, and I'll look into them too.
Okay.
It's interesting. I actually developed some balance problems when I was maybe 10 years ago. So I was in my early 70s. I'm 82 now. And 10 or 12 years ago. And I began to exercise, and I got through them. My brain recovered, which I was not told was possible by the neurologist. But my brain recovered. Not heavy exercise. I just did some aerobic exercise for a while. So you're already exercising. You're already thinking and reading and doing things. So everything you can do like that is going to help you. Can I say goodbye now, Deborah? Or is there anything else that you want to bring up?
Yes, you can.
Listen, I'm so glad you called in. You know, all of my people who call in, I'm going to want all of you to be calling back in the future and letting us know how you've done, and be sure to let me know at Bregan Live. I'm so glad to be developing these new ways of relating. Thank you. Well, we go to India. Anish in India?
Hi. Yeah. Hello, sir. This is Anish from India.
Whereabouts are you in India?
Sorry?
Where are you in India?
I am in Mumbai, city of Mumbai in India, Bombay.
All right. A great, great city. And a city that has a lot of technology people in it.
Yes, sir. I also happen to be a software engineer, small business owner. I know slightly software development.
Would you say that again, sir? I didn't get it. I didn't get what you were saying.
Okay. I am a software engineer myself.
Oh, okay. So I guess good. All right.
Okay.
Good.
Sir,
How can I help you? What would you like to share with us?
My son developed severe depression last year in August 2017, he developed severe major depression. My son. We treated him initially with psychiatric drugs. After looking at your videos and your papers, I took him off the meds. I mean, for 3 months, he was on SSRI and other drugs. I cured his depression using other treatments after 6 months after stopping the meds. And later, he developed mania. I mean, he's angry and all now. So do I say that the mania could be because of SSRI?
He hasn't had any in 6 months?
Yeah. See, first 3 months of SSRI treatment, then I stopped it and then did other treatments like Indian Ayurvedic treatment and then jogging and gym. And then I took him off to the depression using non-medical treatment. It's all the physical treatment, and I was at home for
six months. It's been how many months since he stopped psychiatric drugs?
After 3 months of drugs and then 6 months without drugs.
Okay. I would begin to think that if he's getting manic, and what do you mean by that? I don't want people in India to know who you're talking about, but if you feel it's okay for privacy to tell me a little more, what are his symptoms? What's he doing?
He's my son. He was a student. He took admission in a program which he could not pursue because of his depression. He had to withdraw from it. Six months later, I managed to bring him out of depression. He was completely out of depression. But later he started using abusive language and at home and all. And then he was diagnosed as bipolar. That's after 9 months.
Well, I can't do much long distance, obviously. But let me just raise a couple of issues for you, because I can't treat long distance, obviously. But I can suggest some things for you to think about. One would be, it's entirely possible that he spontaneously is emotionally upset about what's going on at school or in his family. How old is he now?
He's 19 and a half now.
Okay. If my 19-year-old son was behaving in ways that seemed like a real problem, and I didn't know exactly what was going on, I would want to go and find someone who would help me work on talking with my son together. In other words, here we would call it family therapy or father-son therapy or maybe mother-father-son therapy. I would want to help him to be able to talk with us about what the stresses and strains were in his life. That's the first thing I would want to do with any problem that was so difficult. And I'd want to really hear, what does he want? What does he feel? What does he think about everything that's going on? And that often requires having someone else there. And that could be somebody who is a part of a religious situation, or it could be a therapist or counselor or somebody at school. Somebody who'd be willing to help you and your son work together on what's going on, what he needs, what he wants, and what he thinks. That would be really important. Another thing is, if you're giving him, if he's taking herbs of various kinds, some of them can cause mania or cause anger or irritability. So it just could be so many different things going on. I wouldn't think it's necessarily going to be the SSRIs if they were stopped 6 months ago. I would not be able to say that was the cause at this point. So I hope that you'll just try, maybe if it's a fresh approach, I'm not sure for you, but to really, really get involved in listening and hearing what your son is feeling, what he's going through, what he's struggling with, what he needs. What do you think of that, sir?
Yes, sir. You are almost right. He had problems during school life. I mean, during his college life, we found out what the problem was, and we tried to fix them. We succeeded in fixing them to a good extent. It was basically his nature. Fundamentally, he was shy and with a lot of inferiority complex, which led him to the
depression. Well, this is people struggle with this at that age, and the more you can get him a help that's spiritual and psychological, and not herbs, not drugs, and also, good things. I mean, exercise is good, acupuncture is good. I mean, all kinds of alternative things are good. I don't think things that you put in your stomach are going to be good necessarily, the herbs and things. But that would be my general suggestion, sir. And again, you can call me back at another time, tell me how things are going, or let me know on.
Sir, I have one last question before you can.
Sure.
One last question, sir. I would like to request, if you can give me 30 minutes of your time to diagnose my son, I would come to New York. Please.
I won't do that, sir. And I'm actually glad you raised the issue. That doesn't work for me, because what happens with me is I'll meet your son and I won't diagnose him. I don't do that. And I'll understand him and I'll try to understand you. Then I'll care about you both, but I won't be able to help you because you don't live here. I tend to take all of my patients from people who have lived in the community around Ithaca for a while. And I don't take many patients. I have a small practice. But I understand it. I appreciate your question. but it doesn't work with my life. And if I began doing it, there would be crowds out in the street. I just can't go in that direction. I wish you so well, sir, and you have an avenue to communicate with me.
Okay.
But all right, thank you. Bye-bye now. Well, I've got so many callers here. I've got to figure out and learn, because this is kind of new for me, you know, who's next in the line. And I would think it's Dorothy in South Carolina. Dorothy, are you there?
Here. How are you?
My Dorothy. I recognize your voice.
I'm afraid it's that distinctive. I just want to fill you in a couple of little things that
Dorothy, tell
doing
folks
now
who you are. Tell folks who you are.
My name is Dorothy Cassidy, and I'm a retired teacher. I was on his show in April of 2011. But anyway, I was a retired teacher, and I called in to explain some of the things I was trying to do to help the students who were being medicated and obviously damaged. So right now I'm technically retired, but I'm doing a lot of substitute teaching. And as a substitute teacher, I don't get to see this record. Of course, they can't let me see anything. So, but I can guess, but that's the best I can do. But I will say that from time to time I've done seminars, you know, free seminars here in the Myrtle Beach area on children's issues, you know, first do no harm and that kind of thing. And so I do that from once in a while. I will want your comment about this. I'm real concerned about kids. And, of course, diet is definitely a part of the problem. It's not the only thing, but it's part of the problem. But I will say that I heard a doctor on the Internet say that there was an explosion of Parkinson's disease among people in their 40s. So I know I wouldn't call it Parkinson. It might be dystonia or tardive dyskinesia. But I will say that I've seen those kind of reactions in children within a half hour to 45 minutes of taking their dose of so-called ADHD drugs. And so then I've seen the emergency situations and so forth and so on. But whether that would lead to Parkinson in their 40s, I don't know, but I wouldn't doubt it. So I want to comment about that. And if I may, if it's not inappropriate, may I tell you about something that's coming up here, another seminar, except I'm not doing the seminar, but it's free. It's going to be August 22nd, which is a Wednesday, from 6 to 8:30. And it's going to be here in Myrtle Beach. Al Gals is going to be presenting for an hour and a half. So he's a very positive person, the way he's written it up. And it's going to be here at Myrtle Beach Mall next to JCPenney's, Myrtle Beach Mall. So if anybody wants to come, love to see you. He can give CEUs if somebody needs that. But basically, I hope everybody's interested in it. So I'm doing fine. I love the diet because I've been changing my diet more and more. It's mostly plant-based, and certainly made a big difference. So as far as health goes, anything else you want me to add, or can
well,
you
just,
come in on the?
It's just great to hear from you. Dorothy has proven what one person in an environment without much support can do to educate her community about especially what we're doing bad to our kids and what the better alternatives are. So, Dorothy, you're a model for what people are able to do on their own by just working and holding meetings and seminars and talking to teachers. And it's a pleasure to hear from you again.
Okay.
Nice to be in touch.
Do you think there's a relationship with increased Parkinson in people in their 40s?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I suspect that the growing dementia and so-called Alzheimer rates, and this is new for me about the Parkinsonism, psychiatric drugs, many of them damage basal ganglia, not just the antipsychotics,
That's right.
All of which damage the basal ganglia, but all the antidepressants affect the basal ganglia. I mean, it's pretty endless. The stimulants affect the basal ganglia. The basal ganglia are a group of neurons, a large group of neurons deeper in the brain that have to do with both your emotional state and most obviously your physical coordination and use of your body. And most clear-cut movement disorders like MS and Parkinsonism and so on, tardive dyskinesia, they come in part from damage to that area. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's going on. I just don't have data to connect it all together.
And I really appreciate this almost daily uptake of recent research. I just saw that today. It was great.
Yeah, we're going to try to do it daily and just have something up there of interest. And, of course, the most important thing is my frequent alerts. Don't forget, folks, we got free frequent alerts. Please go sign up for the frequent alerts.
I get
Darcy,
it.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to hear from you. And I'm glad to see you're still doing sponsoring and encouraging seminars.
All right, you take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We go to Canada. Judy, and oh, by the way, folks, write into me. We're having the best response we've had in a while in terms of numbers. So certainly people are enjoying this, benefiting from it. But let me know if you want to do this kind of thing more often, where I get on and maybe I'll announce a subject in advance or just open mics. Let me know what you're thinking about this at Bregan Live. At hotmail.com, Bregan Live at hotmail.com. So, Judy in Canada.
Hello, Dr. Bregan. I am so fortunate to be able to get online today, and thank you for saving my life in 1998 when I read.
So, again, it's my Judy from Canada.
Yes.
I'm hearing from old friends from North America. Hi, Judy.
Hi, I wrote the book Judging Judy. I sued the doctors who nearly killed me, but of course in Canada you can't sue doctors. And
very hard. We can.
I've been in
lawsuits, but it's so hard.
Yes, I've moved on. I am now, this is 20 years ago. I'm 73 now, and I have been drug-free since 1998. And I have had no problem except one, and that is once you are diagnosed with a psychiatric disorder, you will have to live with that moniker in Canada. I'm talking from Canada for the rest of your life, because the person, the psychiatrist, the specialist who diagnoses you, that diagnosis sticks to your record until he changes it. This is, I was told that by a neurologist, that once you're diagnosed, unless the primary diagnostician or psychiatrist changes it, it's on your record the rest of your life. I was diagnosed I went to the doctor with fatigue. I was diagnosed with depression, and I said, I don't feel depressed. I don't feel negative. I've never felt suicidal. I am not depressed. I'm fatigued. And this psychiatrist said, sometimes you're depressed and you don't know you're depressed. And he put me on Prozac. I went on Prozac, and then when I had a chronic sinus infection, it ended then that I was on an antidepressant. I was on an antibiotic, and I was on an antihistamine. And I had a psychotic break. And then, of course, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And then
Judy, you know, just to let people know again, this is so horribly common, this terrible tragedy where people are put on multiple psychiatric drugs. Sometimes two or three of them can cause people to have extreme mood swings. They get diagnosed bipolar and they get more drugs when what they really needed was a psychiatrist to say, I'm sorry, I should never have done that and given you that combination, and this is my fault, and I'm taking you off the drugs. But I'll never get a caller telling me that ever happened.
No, they will not admit they make mistakes, especially here in Canada. And
well,
anyway,
it's true everywhere, Judy. It's true everywhere. And everywhere in the world, probably, it's impossible to shake psychiatric diagnoses. And even if your doctor were to reverse it and say, I put in the record that this never was a mistake and it was caused by medications, you still wouldn't be able to get it out of all the other doctors' records. And so it's very hazardous. And people need to tell their doctors, don't give me psychiatric diagnoses in my records. Let's discuss it and don't give me one.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, I wrote the book, Judging Judy, and now I'm into my second edition. I want to get it published this year and carry on with how I treated myself over the last 20 years. I'm doing it all with diet, exercise, and I was diagnosed anyway with 98 with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and multiple chemical sensitivities. And this was my problem in 95. And I'm telling you, but I don't take any medication. I don't take any medication for pain. I do it all by exercise, reduction of stress, and a healthy lifestyle and a healthy diet. And I'm 73 years old now, and I'm not on any drug except I'm supposed to take an aspirin once a day in 81 milligrams, but I don't even do that because my blood is thin enough by how I eat and drink.
Thank you for calling, Judy. Good to hear from you. And it's one of the great things about the show is to hear from folks I haven't heard from in a while.
And Dr. Brennan, thank you
yes?
again.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're very, very welcome, Judy.
Thank you. And thank you.
So,
we're
really moving along, folks, and we're just going to have a callers, and I'm beginning to think that toward the end I might just announce probably not going to be able to get everybody, but I will announce that I'm going to do this on another day, and if I don't get through everybody, and this time. You know, the folks who I don't get, just call the minute the show opens up and I'll be sure to get you by the end of the show. I'm going now to North Carolina, to Carl. Hello, are you there?
Hello, is this Dr. Brennan?
It is, Carl. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, I'm Carl. I'm originally from Washington, D.C. area. And I have a couple questions about several medications. First, is this. I've been prescribed Lamictal since 2002 in varying dosages from 50 milligrams up to 450. I brought myself down to 300 with the agreement of the doctor. So my question is it beneficial to take Zoloft, otherwise known as sertraline, with Lamictal, those two together? Lamictal, of course, is the mood stabilizing drug used off-label as that. Originally, you know that it was an anti-seizure, but maybe I first ask you about what you think about Lamictal. I know what you think about lithium, which is not good. and then if you add the SSRI, such as specifically Zoloft to Lamictal, is that a dangerous combination or could it be beneficial if somebody has bipolar depression?
Well, I'm not going to make specific recommendations. You're asking for very specific recommendations, and I don't know, at all, how to respond to anything specific. But let me just address the whole question here of the medications.
Okay.
All psychiatric drugs are neurotoxins. They all are.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way of getting around that. And therefore, the more you take and the more you take them in combination, the more you're taking risks. So yeah. The issue is, do you really want to be taking these meds? Because the more you take them and the more that you mix them, the more you increase the risks. And you can yourself go and Google interactions between Lamictal and sertraline or Lamictal and Zoloft. And there are some. I don't want to get into that kind of complexity here. Both drugs by themselves are so toxic. Lamictal has a dreadful potential to produce a total body immune response with really, really a deep sickness that's manifests itself as serious skin lesions all over the body. And you should have been warned about that. I don't know if you were warned about that. And Zoloft has so many things that are a problem with it that you probably should get one of my books. Get Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal. The first half will tell you about the dangers.
Dr. Bruggen, I've already ordered that. I paid for it, so I'm going to get it in a few days, your book.
Yeah.
But I don't
treat my patients with medication. So, but I can't, and certainly don't just stop your medications because they all have withdrawal effects. So you're asking me two specific questions. But go ahead.
Can I just get off so I won't, pinpoint or that. Okay, so let me explain to you. Like I said, I'm from the D.C. area. Now, I did very well in school. I came back from college, but I also worked a war and poverty program, a job with underprivileged kids, summer 76. Then the job ended, and I had like a breakdown. So that was the first time I entered your system with psychiatric drugs. That was fall of 76 and treated with all sorts of medication. I know for a fact. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe that there's such a thing as clinical depression, or is there something of a depression that is biological or genetic, or do you think that depression is entirely reactive to a, life
there event? There is no scientific evidence whatsoever for depression as commonly seen and treated with antidepressants to have a biological or genetic basis. And if you're a good therapist or a good friend, you can usually talk to somebody and very quickly understand why they're depressed, what ideals are not being fulfilled, what moral conflicts are being struggled with, what issues are there in love life and creative life, and what happened in childhood, if you've been depressed since childhood, what happened in childhood. So, no. And most of my old listeners know this, but I'm sure they're happy to have me repeat it for folks who haven't heard it. There's just no evidence for it. Okay. What we do know is that all psychiatric drugs cause serious biochemical imbalances in the brain, and those are brains of people who don't have one to begin with. So, no.
Can I ask this? Okay, sure, good. Okay, so can I ask you, so then you would not be in agreement with, I had a psychiatrist in Florida or in Orlando that said clearly that bipolar, he said it's genetic, not biological.
There's no evidence for that at all. I actually addressed that way back in toxic psychiatry, because that was when there was this great big study showing bipolar was genetic, and I analyzed the study in great depth before publishing the book, and then just as my book was about to be finished, one of the authors just reneged and jumped out and said, no, our evidence isn't working. So I didn't have to do my big analysis. Psychiatrists all over the world have said, probably for as long as there's been psychiatry, which is as long as there have been state mental hospitals, hundreds of years, have said everything is biological and genetic. And the founder of modern psychiatry in America, Benjamin Rush, who had many good qualities, he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, was known by his colleagues as being a nutty psychiatrist in a lot of ways and treating people weirdly. And the people he trained may have bled George Washington to death, I mean, psychiatry has forever been doing the biological stuff to people. But to get a hold of one of my books, as you say you're going to do, and start reading, and you'll hear all the evidence I have for these things.
So I just wanted to continue briefly, Dr. Bregan. So
and then I'm going to finish up because this you know, I want to move away from sort of going back to all the basics. But go ahead with one last issue, one last question.
So I think you don't believe. There's a lot of other people. It's coming out all over the place on the internet, what you believe, I think, very much that, developmentally, that people, so let me ask you about Ambien.
Ambien is under scrutiny now by the FDA because it's causing such sleep problems. They seem to be on the verge, maybe, of withdrawing it. I'm not sure. But Ambien causes a lot of sleep problems. Daniel, Carl, I'm going to say goodbye to you.
Do I need to taper off Ambien?
Carl, no, I just get near the end of the show. I got 2 minutes. Bye-bye now. I have a number of people on the line. I've got, let me just say, so you know I've got you. I've got Daniel in Israel, Daryl in London, Sarah in California, Chuck in Houston, Sammy in Pennsylvania. So what I'm going to do, folks, is I'm not going to try to handle a call in 90 seconds. I'm going to make another day to do the call-ins. I'm going to actually do them in 2 weeks. And I hope that sits well with everybody. But August 29th, 4 p.m., folks, New York time, August 29th, I'll be taking callers again to talk about things. I want to get in as much as possible into the healing aspects, not the discussions about whether this or that drug is good, but into the healing aspects. I don't mind answering questions about drugs, but I wanted to have a more of a positive, like we've had with just about every caller today. You've been so, so good. I'm so pleased with the callers. I hope I've been as good in responding. So August 29th, 4 p.m., I hope that all of you who are on the line now, about five people or more, that you'll just start out the show and line up and we'll get going on that day. New York time, 4 p.m. for the Dr. Peter Bregan Show on PRN-FM. I thank the staff at PRN for running this show so smooth with such an inexperienced in terms of handling, a board long distance like this. Closing thoughts. I want to come back to what I said in the beginning. You are not your brain. You are something bigger and greater and more important than a hunk of meat. You have spirit. You are a spirit. You're a soul. You're a being. Always remember that. And remember that what we inevitably really yearn for is to love life and to be loved, to do creative, loving, caring things. And that everything that moves us in that direction is good for us, short of getting into some cult or something. The things that move us toward being loving toward other people and toward life and toward art and creativity, to bird watching and gardening, to exercising, to playing games with friends, all the things that move us positively toward love. And enjoying and engaging and nurturing and caring will bring us into the best spiritual state we can be. And any self-examination we do, and God, I've done a ton of it, and I help people do it in therapy, has to have behind it the grander goal for us to become more loving, nurturing, caring, creative, responsible human beings. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my wonderful audience. I've so much enjoyed this show, and I hope to hear from all the folks who are lined up there and whom I'm disappointing today. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.